Welcome to Formation, and you're here at a perfect time because we begin a new conversation today. These are my friends, Shannon Moore, Kara Watts.
Hi.
My name is Renee Hoke. I hope you've been part of our Formation family for a while now, but it's great if you're just getting started. We are going to focus these next conversations on prayer. What it is, what it isn't, why it's hard.
And I'm excited about this.
Different tactics for praying. Why do you think this is good timing?
Mainly, we've been talking about scripture, which is really important in our faith formation, but there are other elements. And so if we're going to be formation, I think it's important for us to talk about some ways to use that practically in our lives and really form our faith in new ways. So I'm excited to talk about something new.
Something new. Yeah. Something that, if we're lucky, we extends across a lifetime. Maybe you've been praying since you were in little kid Sunday school, or maybe prayers come to you later in your life, but it's something that we're always working on, mm-hmm. something we probably always critique ourselves pretty harshly. Do you do that, or is that just me?
And I think it's a skill, and I think it's hard to think about prayer as a skill because it makes it sound too
not holy
or not as special as it should be. But I think when we really look at it, there are certain elements to it that we can learn to do and that we do. We teach our children over time, and our kids kind of go as far as we go a lot of times. And so when we can continue to grow in our prayer life, then we bring along others with us.
I think one of my favorite experiences of prayer was when my boys were little. Mm-hmm. Teaching them to pray made me more mindful about my own prayer and what it was. And they were very comfortable when they were little with it just being a conversation with God. Mm-hmm. After their granddad had passed away, Andy said in spare room, he was praying one night and he said, "We hope granddad's having a good time, God, up there in heaven. Tell him hello for us." I just thought it was very conversational and lovely. We also hope across these weeks to be sharing with you some of the resources that we can recommend if you'd like to do a little bit more reading about prayer, or maybe it's a podcast, maybe it's a daily prayer that you
I didn't know anybody listened
online.
To any other podcast but this one.
I know, Shannon, but it's true.
Oh, wow, okay.
Not many of them.
Okay.
Not many.
So one of the resources I'm going to read from right now is a book by Richard Foster that's been around a long time. It really is a classic, and it's called Prayer, Finding the Heart's True Home. And I want you to listen to his voice. He is Quaker, quite the faith formation, spiritual formation expert. Anything you find by Richard Foster, I could easily recommend to you. But listen to what he says in the first chapter about his own prayer life. He writes, "I used to think that I needed to get all my motives straightened out before I could pray, really pray. I would be in some prayer group, for example, and I would examine what I had just prayed, and I would think to myself how utterly foolish and self-centered. I can't pray this way. And so I would determine never to pray again until my motives were pure. You understand, I didn't want to be a hypocrite. I knew that God is holy and righteous. I knew that prayer is no magic incantation. I knew that I must not use God for my own ends. But the practical effect of all this internal soul searching was to completely paralyze my ability to pray." You can overthink it.
Totally.
Oh,
we do all the time.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
You can overthink it and get discouraged, and for a lot of wrong reasons. Whatever we do that makes us not find prayer accessible is probably a mistake. So I was going through a period in my life, maybe 20 years ago. I was seeing a spiritual director. I was feeling really good about my faith formation, feeling like I was taking new strides. And she told me about, at the convent where she lived, she told me about a retreat for centering prayer. Mm-hmm. And I thought, I'm ready for that. That's the big leagues. I'm ready for that. Also, if you get full of yourself, that's going to get in the way of your prayer life too, as I'm about to demonstrate. So This is an overnight experience in the end. A group of adults, all strangers to each other, gather, and we sit with Sister Adeline, that's my spiritual director. We sit in a big circle, and our first exercise, she leads us into centering prayer, and she explains that centering prayer is a recognition that God is within us, not up above the ceiling, not far away where we need to reach out, but God dwells here within each one of us. And so this is us simply sitting in our chair and agreeing to be with God. No words. No words are necessary, not asking for anything. It is just being, agreeing to be in God's presence, being aware of the fact that God is with us, and we're normally too busy. So the first time, let's just try it for 30 minutes.
Just for 30 just minutes?
30. Oh my gosh. So I'm easily distracted, and I'm aware of all these strangers, and maybe it would have been easier if I'd been in a room by myself, but I don't know that it would have, because my brain was just, it was about being still and being quiet and not needing any words, but words are how I live my life. So what did I do with all those words that are now in my head that I can't speak? And what I learned the first, that 30 minutes felt like about 4 hours.
Start out the first.
Just sitting in a chair in a room. So I got better. We talked about the experience that we tried again, and then we tried again in the morning, and I got better at it with a little bit of practice. And what I decided that made sense to me, it was as if I was out on the front porch, sitting on the porch swing, and God came and sat next to me. And we were such good friends that we didn't need to talk. We could just swing and hear the birds and, you know, enjoy the breeze. It was in the evening, I would imagine. And we were just, and once I could picture that, I came closer to allowing that to happen. But I felt like a failure. And it was a big shock to have words taken away from me, because I thought words were what prayer was about, instead of just the presence of God.
Right.
I needed to have some dialogue going. Now, has anybody else had an experience of?
Well, when I was going through my spiritual director training, we learned about different ways of praying, and different, and centering prayer was one of those, but we started out at like 5 minutes.
I mean, Sister Adeline spoke to her spiritual director and gave some recommendations.
Oh my gosh. And maybe I wasn't in the beginner class. Maybe there was a class down the hall where I should have been. And you thought that was hard.
I thought that was hard for 5 minutes. But then the more I practiced it and worked up the time, I like you, found a way to sort of, recognize that's what this is about. I don't have to do anything, but it's so hard to turn all of that off. And if you can even fall into that spot for 15 seconds, and then you start thinking again, I did it.
And that messes it up.
I don't think I've ever made it to 5 minutes in a centering prayer situation. My default way is to move. And so I can fall into that place. I know it's different, but for me, I walking prayers are my greatest. I've talked about that before, but that's the greatest way for me to engage, just to...
Because your body's doing something.
Yeah, I have such a hard time slowing, you know, something about the movement allows my brain to slow down a little bit. I can focus on the rhythm of what's happening.
I've not mastered
centering prayers.
Whose regular prayer practice is walking.
Yeah.
Praying while you walk.
Yeah. It's
and what a great example of that already, as we're beginning this series, to talk about different ways to connect with the holy. That's what it's about, of feeling. We're already connected to the holy. That, you know,
yes.
As you said, God's inside.
God
we're already connected. But to recognize that connection and to take some time to really, however it looks, find some ways to recognize it and connect with it, I think is great. But it can be intimidating.
It can be. And we can definitely, I think it's so great to have a friend to share the journey mm-hmm. and talk about, well, here's where I am with my prayer life, or I seem to have hit a roadblock of some sort. So in the first chapter of his book, Richard Foster suggests that we begin with simple prayer, which he says is the most common form of prayer in the Bible. And then he gives us some examples of that kind of simple prayer where we do not try to sort things out, the good from the bad. We simply and unpretentiously share with God our concerns and make our petitions. We tell God, for example, how frustrated we are with a coworker at the office or the neighbor down the street. We ask for food, favorable weather, good health. It's just us.
Kara and I pray that coworker thing
all the time. It's an important prayer. Coworker.
Usually right before recording. So.
Well, now we're getting to the truth, aren't we? Aren't we?
But no, I love that. Because so many of us feel like we have to approach God in this perfect way and put forth some sort of untrue
and have poetic language.
Yes.
And I think a conversational prayer is a great place for us, the real us,
mm-hmm. just lay it
out. To be in conversation and I think to allow a little space to listen, and maybe God's kind of going to give us some feedback.
And
so,
if we believe that God knows us inside and out
yes.
already, we're not hiding anything.
So then, yeah, so who are
God
we kidding?
Anyway. Yeah.
Who are we kidding trying to make an impression on God who knows us better than we know ourselves? Yes, that's exactly right. So listen to a couple of these biblical examples of simple prayer. One of them, if you have your Bible handy, is in Numbers chapter 11.
One of my favorite books.
We are following along with the slaves who have escaped from Egypt, and as soon as they're out from danger, they start complaining. Mm-hmm. And at one point, Moses has had enough. So this is right after manna came down because everybody was hungry. And were the people happy because now they had something to eat? No. So I'm reading beginning with verse 10, and listen to how Moses talks to God. Moses heard the people weeping throughout their families, all at the entrances of their tents. Then the Lord became very angry, and Moses was displeased. So Moses said to the Lord, "Why have you treated your servants so badly? Why have I not found favor in your sight that you lay the burden of all this people on me? Did I conceive these people? Did I give birth to them that you should say to me, 'Carry them in your bosom as a nurse with a sucking child to the land that you promised an oath to their ancestors?' Where am I to get meat to give to all these people? For they come weeping to me and they say, 'Give us meat to eat.' I am not able to carry all these people alone. They are too heavy for me. If this is the way you are going to treat me, put me to death at once. If I have found favor in your sight, then do not let me see my misery." Moses has had it. Moses is mad at God. God got Moses into this fix, and he's letting God have it.
Yeah.
Yep.
And we know how much God loved Moses.
And yeah. vice versa.
Yeah.
Right.
But Moses needed
somebody to talk to, and it was the Lord. So we can be mad in prayer.
Yep.
Yep.
Thank goodness. Literally, thank
right.
God that we can do that because...
Right.
It's just so important to be able to get that out.
How can we be in relationship with God if we have to censor and hold some things back and only be acceptably, you know? I just think God would rather hear from us in all of our moods than have us decide not to communicate
with
God.
Yeah, and it's such a powerful statement by Moses because, I mean, the Lord, God did put him in that situation. I mean... None of this was on Moses' plan.
And now these people
and now
are
here I am, and you've done this to me, God. I mean, that's a pretty powerful thing to say.
Yeah.
This is all on you, God.
And it's so such honesty. And I think of the way so many of us tend to pray is like that old show, Leave It to Beaver. Remember Eddie Haskell, who...
He would pray? I don't remember him praying.
No, he didn't
pray. I do remember polite
Eddie
Haskell.
But he was like fake nice.
Yes, hello, yes. Mr. and Mrs. Cleaver.
When he was in front of the parents.
Yes,
and then he was completely something else when he was with his friends. And so I feel like we kind of pray like we're Eddie Haskell, putting on a front for...
Don't pray like Eddie Haskell. We need to have a bumper sticker that we could offer to our formation friends.
Yes, it's very current. We're on the cutting edge of pop culture.
Yeah, example in my household. You know, don't be an Eddie Haskell. And my children are like, who? Never mind.
About,
it's so hard to explain. So yeah, we'll look.
Yeah. So, do you guys have a simple prayer example from Scripture?
I do. I have one from Psalm. From the Psalms. This is Psalm 139. And the psalmist here really does. We were talking about poetic prayers a while ago, and I think that we clergy have sometimes intimidated folks because we often will spend time crafting beautiful prayers, and because that can be meaningful too. But then you know, folks think that you have, that's how you have, that's how you have to pray. And Psalm 139 is one of these really beautifully crafted prayers.
It's the one that became an anthem that I love.
Yes, and lots of settings to to music and hymns and that sort of thing. But it's the one that may be familiar to you. You've searched me, Lord. You know me. You know when I sit still, when I rise up. Am I going in? Am I going out? Where can I flee from your presence? I mean, just beautiful language. You created my inmost being. How precious to me are your thoughts. I mean, just this beautiful...
I have this idea where you're going.
Yeah, well, it's just this beautiful
it
prayer.
Is.
And then suddenly at verse 19, it sort of slides into simple prayer with, I wish you would slay the wicked. They speak of you with evil intent. Get rid of everybody that I hate.
So how can you switch gears that fast?
Just that fast. It's this beautiful prayer, and then it's like,
now I've had it.
And that's not the only psalm that does this.
There's
some
a lot of
shocking psalms
for getting
about
even.
Getting even, killing babies. I mean, horrible things.
So if you read through the psalms, you know that you can pray anything.
Right. And the psalmist is, I mean, these psalms are very honest. And it's like, and the language is so direct. It's not, you know, so often we pray and it's, would you just do this? And if you could, and if I'm so weak and you're so great, and why would you? But the psalms are like, give me this, you know, show me this, grant me this.
Right. Slay the wicked.
Yeah. It's very direct and strong verbs in the psalms.
Yeah. Yeah,
the good, the bad, and the ugly of prayer.
Yeah, my example is from 1 John chapter 3, verse 20 is the official part of that.
I beat you.
You did beat me. Wait. Go ahead. Don't wait for
me.
Well,
actually, I'm going to start in verse 18. It says, little children, let us love not in word or speech, but in truth and action. And by this we will know that we are from the truth, and we will reassure our hearts before him. Whenever our hearts condemn us, for God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. So just that statement that it doesn't matter, even when we're feeling like we're not in this, and maybe it's not exactly, our hearts know. I mean, God is with us and can handle this.
That's lovely.
And our language around prayer and whatever that might be, it's all important.
Do you think the Lord's Prayer would be an example of simple prayer? Jesus offered that as a model, but it's give us our daily bread.
I think so. Yeah. I think that it
keep
is
bad
quite
things
simplistic.
From happening to us.
Yeah, keep me out of trouble. Keep me away from temptation. Yeah. Give me bread.
Yeah. Don't let me fall into these ways of being and bring your kingdom here. Help us to be like you.
And in the book, Foster talks about reminds us how childlike, you know, that we call ourselves God's children,
right.
and talks about how when children, we want our children to share things with us, and it doesn't have to be perfect. It doesn't have to be, and you know, sometimes they're selfish, and that's okay because you recognize that they're learning and they're growing. And God, and for God to see us in the same way,
acceptance of that we can come just as we are. Mm-hmm. You know,
so there's something so wonderful and fresh about being able to just simply pray mm-hmm. right where we are with whatever was going on in our day.
Right.
When we got ready to record, you came in and you were in a frenzy.
It had been a day.
You know, and yeah. so however that is, we don't have to wait till we straighten ourselves out mm-hmm. or achieve a higher level of existence. We yeah. just pray from wherever we are.
Right. Yeah, not always knowing what we're stepping into for a day, mm-hmm. You know, that we can continue that conversation with God throughout, that God is with us in all that we do.
I know a lot of people who have sort of reset their prayer life. Mm-hmm. It got too complicated. They went to too many seminars and read too many books, and then this is, and you just sort of, okay, you reboot your prayer life and make it more real and make it less complicated.
Well, in so many, I mean, we do that over and over, we humans. You take a simple concept and then you study and study and study and learn, and then it becomes, you know, a craft, or it becomes an expertise, and then it's complicated. And people, and even Foster talks about this in the book, that there are people who sort of laugh at simple prayer. It's because it's so self-centered and it's so, you know, immature, and it's such a childlike thing. Who cares what other people think? The important thing is building that relationship
yes.
with God and growing in our faith. And it doesn't matter if anybody else approves of what kind yeah. of prayer that you're praying.
Right. I working with children, you know, I always offer the opportunity for a child to pray in those moments in our children's worship or before we, whatever that might be. And I have usually the same friends that will say, "Hey, I'm brave enough to pray," because it does take some courage to
sure.
to pray. You know,
Out loud
we have lots of different options and ways to do it. And it's interesting to me to hear their prayers, because so much of them are so simple, and yet they're often very sophisticated as well, because I know they're hearing prayers in other places and kind of infusing that into their prayers. And so to hear kind of just how prayer is evolving and changing is really this fascinating thing. But at the core of it, it's just a simple conversation, and they're beautiful. They're just these incredibly beautiful prayers.
There used to be, and I'm sure there have been several versions of it over the years, but one in particular was a book of children's
yes.
prayers. And I remember one of my favorite ones said, "Dear God, I didn't know orange and purple went together until the sun set."
Oh.
That was pretty cool. Or something
yeah,
like that, you
yeah.
know. And I just love that. And that's that yeah, honesty.
Right.
And that
simple. It's okay mm-hmm. that they're simple and
but
powerful.
But they're acknowledging
yes.
God's greatness mm-hmm. and that God is at work even in the sunset.
Right.
And in surprising ways. It's just, yes, thank God for yeah. children's prayers.
And thank God for all the people who've encouraged us to pray.
Absolutely.
Over the years. Wherever our prayer life is, it's mm-hmm. probably because somebody has spoken into mm-hmm. it and encouraged us. And we used to, when I was growing up in the church, you put your offering in a little envelope mm-hmm. and then you would check the holy habits you were supposed to be forming. So did you give an offering? Did you pray every day? Did you read your Bible? Did you go to worship on Sunday? I can't remember what else was there. Did you do something like that where you had
I remember the envelopes. I don't remember all the...
It does seem to have a bit of works righteousness going on, but...
it does, but
it was to encourage
the ritual
habits.
Of it. Yeah.
It was to encourage habits.
Yeah, the
because
routine.
A lot of us have come to faith not really thinking about it as a lifelong mm-hmm. Faith formation pursuit. I decided I would do a little research and found this article, The 7 Facets of Faith Formation.
Mm.
And it wasn't what I thought, how I would have listed it. Well, maybe next week we can talk about the
okay.
discipleship path. But this says, in order for you to continue to be formed as a follower of Jesus and to fill yourself moving forward in your prayer life and everything, first of all, requires participants. We have to agree to be in formation and to pay some attention to that. It requires some leadership. Maybe that was a pastor when you were growing up, somebody leading a small group with you, but somebody who's willing to gather folks and say, "Hey, let's work on this," which is what we're doing with this prayer series. It's good to have some training. Whoever is leading that whatever it is you're working on, it's good that that person has spent some time planning and training. And then it requires relationships, because God works through the people in our lives to help us build and move forward in our prayer. It takes time, time over years, time over a lifetime to be formed fully as a follower of Jesus. It takes effort.
Just like anything else.
Yeah. It will take you investing your energy into it to move, continue to move forward as a person of faith. And it will take content, good content. So that's why we're going to share with you some content that we have found that we think is helpful. Because there could be some silly things out there too. But I think I so appreciate honesty as we talk about prayer. Mm-hmm. So we can all agree, yep, we could do it better. But praying is more important than not praying.
Yep.
Yep.
Agreed. Bad prayers are better than no prayers.
If there's such a thing as a bad prayer.
But there's not, because God loves us. What else? Anything we need to add?
I don't think so. Yeah. I think that's a good introduction for us.
A good way to get started on the series and to start thinking about prayer in a really simplistic way.
And
we'll go from there.
We're going to talk about some different forms of prayer. That's why we started with simple prayer. And maybe it will kind of stretch your imagination for different ways that you might engage in prayer. Maybe this will, for all of us, kind of shake the cobwebs out and revitalize our own prayer practices. So we're looking forward to the weeks ahead. We would love to hear from you. If there's a particular prayer issue that you would like some conversation around, would you email us and let us know at formation@uccftw.com. We look forward to hearing from you, to continuing this conversation. May God bless you and keep you in the week ahead.
Take care.